Hello, everyone, and welcome to TechNet Radio. My name is Kevin Remde, and I'm a senior technology evangelist on the U.S. Developer Experience team at Microsoft, and I'm your TechNet Radio host today. Now, I think it's safe to say that here toward the end of July in this year 2015, there are some pretty exciting things happening in the computing world. Windows 10 is becoming available worldwide, and many have been running preview releases, and everyone I know is really anxious to take advantage of the features and the improvements in this new version of Windows. And at the same time, you know, businesses and IT, we're in the process of learning and figuring out what makes sense for our people. You know, how do we deploy and manage this operating system and this new Windows as a service model? You know, this is an opportunity to ask now, how are we going to deploy and manage Windows in a world and with a workforce that is cloud connected and continually updated? On July 22nd of 2015, an article in Computer Business Review that was titled Five Big Thinkers on Enterprise Mobility included our guest today as the first on the list of those five big thinkers. So we're really pleased to have Brad Anderson with us today. Brad is a Microsoft Corporate Vice President of Enterprise Client and Mobility. And it's a real treat that he's agreed to speak with us about Windows 10 and what Microsoft is offering businesses and enterprises with regard to enterprise management. Thank you, Brad, and welcome.
No, it's great to be here, and I can't help myself, Kevin. I got to make a crack about that wonderful artwork behind you in the hotel room you're at right now. So,
well, who says that's a hotel room? It could be my.
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. I think because I was actually in the same hotel yesterday with the same artwork in my room. So
yes, I'm calling to you from sunny Orlando today. So
right, yeah, well, yeah. You know, Kevin's down at our annual sales kickoff right now. Quite the event.
Yes, it was great. Really, really exciting times. And I'm going to start out with a really, maybe a rather silly question, and maybe at least silly to those of us who know what's coming, but I'm just going to ask it. Is Windows 10 a big deal?
Yeah, it's a big deal for a couple of reasons. You know, first of all, from a technology perspective, as I look at what's coming in Windows 10 and the changes, you know, that the Windows organization has made, you know, and specifically delivering as a service, it's just a fundamental different beast than we've ever seen before. You know, I've been working on management of Windows, you know, since almost 20 years now, since 1995. And I think about, you know, here and then 12 years at Novell, I've built the tools that manage Windows 95, 98, and T, 2000, you know, ME, which nobody used, XP, you know, Windows 7, Windows 8, Vista, and now 10. You know, honestly, as I look at the changes that are being made, and you know, I have to say I'm just incredibly amazed and proud of what the Windows team has done, because they really have rethought a bunch of the assumptions we've had for, you know, decades. And so what's coming, how it's being delivered as a service, the continual updates, and then quite honestly, there's a huge portion of the population that has, you know, really decided to skip Windows 8 in the enterprise, and so there's a whole pent-up demand of organizations who I think are going to want to go to Windows 10 because we've addressed some of the core issues that people had with Windows 8. So I think it's a big deal.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned it just now, and I mentioned it in the introduction around this phrase, Windows as a service.
Yeah.
I think we should maybe clarify that a little bit, what we mean when we say that. I mean, how is Windows 10 being delivered as a service, and how is that different than what we've done in the past?
Yeah, so if you think about kind of the life cycle of Windows for the past 10 or 15 years, you know, for much of that time, every 2 to 3 years, you know, we would kind of like churn up the machine and we'd put out a new version of Windows for the world. And then if you take a look at what we did with 8 and 8.1, those were like annual releases. And so we've been quickening the pace because the market really demands that. But it's shifted significantly as we think about now delivering Windows as a service. And so, you know, in this cloud-first, mobile-first world that we talk about, Windows now becomes a connected operating system that is continually getting updates from the cloud. So instead of getting like maybe one update a year, you're going to get significant updates delivered down to organizations multiple times during the year. And the genesis or the idea behind this is, you know, you think about users in their personal lives on their personal devices, they're constantly getting new apps, new updates, new capabilities streamed down to them, you know, on iOS and on Android as an example. Well, we've taken that whole concept to a new level and said, we're going to do everything in the operating system and continually deliver new capabilities down. And so as you think about that fundamental change, you know, I think IT pros are going to be delighted with the fact that they can continually deliver new capabilities out to their users, and their users will love it as well. But I think there's a fundamental shift that organizations have to think about now, because if Windows is being delivered as a service, you have to think about your management tool also being delivered as a service, and there's a whole lot of work that my team's been doing the last couple of years to get ready for this.
Yeah, that, well, true. I mean, if you, and we're probably going to talk more about this later, and certainly you're going to have some great resources around this available too. But, you know, if Windows is being updated more frequently, then certainly the tools to manage it are also going to have to adjust to that. So
yeah, just to kind of put a point on that to bring it home, you know, mm-hmm. let's say that every 90, 120 days, a new set of capabilities are released in you know, for Windows users. Well, the management tool also has to be updated to light up. And yeah. manage those new capabilities. So literally what we've been doing over the past couple of years is cloud enabling System Center Configuration Manager, which is the tool that's going to manage, you know, I would say 90% of the Windows 10 deployments around the world. It now is a cloud connected service as well that's continually getting updates just like Windows is. And so just like Windows is being delivered as a service, System Center Configuration Manager is also now being delivered as a service as well.
Yeah, and I know this is my next question is a pretty big question. So maybe in general we can talk about this. How are we recommending that businesses roll out Windows 10 or move to Windows 10?
Yeah, you know, I think organizations will follow similar things that they've done in the past. Now, the thing that I would kind of start off with is what I have found over the years is when organizations look at their plans to deploy a new version of Windows, many will step back and say, hey, let's step back and really consider our end-to-end solution or end-to-end strategy and management capabilities and strategy for Windows. And so I think, first of all, people will step back and they're going to ask themselves the question, with the changes that are coming in Windows, you know, what changes should we make to our management strategy? So that's first and foremost. And what I would encourage organizations, if you're not using Config Manager, if you're using, you know, an Alteryx, a Landesk, you know, there's a list of these small providers, it is just honestly time to move. You know, they've not done the work to cloud connect their services, you know, or their solutions like we have with Config Manager. They're not going to be able to keep up with this constant streaming of new capabilities. It is time to move. That's number one. Number two, you know, we've done a lot of work in core Windows. First of all, in my experience, I have found it to be the most compatible version of the operating system that I've ever seen released. You know, as I take a look at the bugs that come in on the tools that my team builds, I've seen fewer issues come in than on any other release of Windows that I've ever worked on. So I think that's great news that the Windows team has done a fantastic job there.
Yeah.
The Windows team has also done some great work in terms of the upgrade capability. So whether it's an in-place upgrade or whether it's a wipe and load, those capabilities have been improved. And then they've also been sped up, so it won't take as much time as it has in the past. And part of that is just setting the stage for these continual updates that will be delivered, you know, as we deliver Windows as a service. But then we've done some phenomenal things in System Center Configuration Manager. You know, there's some troubleshooting tools in there that help you to actually monitor what's going on. And when there are issues, and if you think about it, if you're a larger organization and just 1% of your PCs have some kind of an upgrade issue, that's an awful lot of PCs to have to go troubleshoot. So in Config Manager and the things that we've done in the task sequencer and the ability to upgrade, we've actually built more monitoring into that now to actually give you a better view if something does happen, what has happened so you can get to the root of it quicker. But I think Config Manager is the way that most organizations are going to deploy an upgrade to Windows 10. One of the things that we've done this year, unlike what we did with Windows 8, is System Center Configuration Manager 2012 and 2012 R2 are both fully compatible with Windows 10. So organizations do not have to upgrade to a new version of Config Manager. And honestly, I think we made a huge mistake with Windows 8 when we required organizations to upgrade to a new version of Config Manager, and I don't want to ever have that happen again. So the service packs that we released in May for both 2012 Config Manager and R2 address any known issues that we had seen, and you know, you can use what you have in place today now to upgrade. So I think that's the way most people will do it.
Fantastic. That's great. And it sounds like you've done the engineering to make Configuration Manager not only the ability to do that, it's probably the same mechanisms that you have in place to upgrade it and keep it up to date going forward, as you mentioned with that.
Yeah, and it's really interesting. You know, there was an article published last week that talked about some survey information that had been done by organizations. And the question was asked, you know, of these IT professionals, what tool are you going to use to upgrade to Windows 10? 63% said they were going to use Config Manager. And then I think it was 37% said that they were going to use MDT, which is the Microsoft deployment tool, which interestingly enough is based on the task sequencer from Config Manager. So what we actually do in Config Manager is we break out that thing called the task sequencer, and then we ship that as MDT, which is a free tool that does upgrades. And so you add that up, you know, 98, 99% of the world say that they're going to use the Config Manager capabilities to do the upgrade. And I think that's a really strong indication of what the world will do. The other piece that's really interesting is there was in that research a piece of data that where they asked organizations that had more than 10,000 PCs, what is the tool that you use for managing your PCs? 99% said they use Config Manager.
Wow, that's huge. That's great. So There's other features in Windows 10 that businesses are going to want to take advantage of.
Yeah.
And certainly in the areas of identity management and security, for example, data leakage protection. Describe for our viewers what we're adding in Windows 10 to support DLP, and maybe give us a brief overview of how businesses should start addressing it.
Okay. You know, if you look at what the industry's been doing over the past couple of years, many of us have built these concepts of containers. And what a container does is it separates corporate things from personal things on a device and then allows IT to be able to put policies on the corporate assets, applications, and data to basically ensure that that information is safe, secure, and protected. You know, we've certainly built these for iOS and for Android. And when you're trying to build this and you're not a part of the operating system, there are some limitations on what you can do. And I think what has been wonderful about what the Windows organization has done is, you know, we certainly shared everything that we had learned as we built the containers for iOS and for Android. And now as they have built this, what we call enterprise data protection, which is essentially a container natively in the Windows 10, it's just head and shoulders above anything else in the industry that's available because it's a part of the operating system. So for example, applications with the container technology that exists today, when you deliver it not part of the operating system, you have to take an app and you have to wrap it or build it with an SDK that invites it to participate in that container. But because the EDP capabilities are natively in Windows 10, any app, whether that's a universal modern app or that's a Win32 app, natively can participate in those enterprise data protection capabilities without any modification, no wrapping, no SDK. All the applications that organizations have today can just automatically participate in that.
That's huge.
And then, yeah, it really is, you know, because that's been a huge stumbling block, I think, for the enterprise as they've thought about how they really enable these concepts of BYO, where they want to separate the corporate things from the personal things. It's just so much easier when it comes in the operating system. And I think eventually iOS and Android will do the same thing, but it's fantastic to see Windows, you know, a couple of years ahead of the industry and really making this just a native part of the operating system. So that's number one. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the work that we've done in identity is really, it's innovative, but it also was required. You know, if you think about Windows 8 for a minute, one of the first things you're asked when you provision a Windows 8 device is to input your Microsoft security account. And then, you know, it sets up this cloud relationship and all of your settings roam across that Microsoft security account. And I love that. You know, like at our house, we've got 5 or 6 Surfaces, 2 all-in-ones, and then, you know, a number of laptops. And it's fantastic because my kids can sit down on any PC, any device, and all their apps, all their data follows them through OneDrive. And, you know, I joke that it's kind of nice to be a hero as a technologist because kids always have what they need to you know, do their homework and stuff. But the problem enterprises had with that is they didn't want the corporate assets to roam across the Microsoft security account. So one of the things that we've done from an identity perspective, which, again, I think is very innovative, is we now allow multiple identities to be in place in a single Windows 10 login session. And so you can have a corporate identity, which is Azure Active Directory, and your personal identity, which is Microsoft security account. And then we've actually done the work to understand what things should roam across the corporate account or AAD account and what should roam across MSA. And so organizations who want to enable, you know, private use, if you will, now have the ability to ensure that the corporate things stay in corporate approved locations and roam separately from personal. And so, you know, this concept of Windows 10 being a cloud-connected operating system, the dependencies on Azure Active Directory and those types of things are significant. But it's, you know, we talk about this mobile-first, cloud-first world, and what we really mean, as we talk about this, is the roaming and the mobility of the human experience. And the only way that's possible is for devices that are connected to the cloud. The cloud is what really enables mobility.
Yeah, I love the description that Satya has used. I believe it was Satya in the past where, you know, talk about what is mobility. I have a mobile device. Is the device mobile? And I put it on the table. It just sits there.
Yep.
But it is about the experience moving with you as you move from device to device. And as you say, being able to allow corporate accounts and corporate identities to be able to participate in that is huge.
Yep. That actually is one of the biggest blockers that we've had in terms of Windows 8, to be honest, of organizations saying, hey, I need to have Azure Active Directory accounts there for my corporate things. And so I think we've addressed that particular blocker.
So you and I have talked before about mobile device management, and we've covered a little bit of that today already. And I understand there are even more and greater improvements in Windows 10 with regard to supporting BYOD, and at the same time, you know, allowing businesses to control it, to secure company-managed applications and information. So what's coming in Windows 10 to support mobile device management, and what are some of the tools that I'm going to use to support that?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. There's a number of things here. First of all, from a management perspective, there's kind of the traditional way that we've always managed PCs, you know, using WMI, group policy, you know, a device joins the domain and group policy goes and applies all the different things that IT has set up. You know, in a BYO model, you know, organizations and the users want a much lighter touch. And so as you think about kind of what is the equivalent, if you will, of what group policy has been in the past in a modern BYO world, that literally is this MDM layer that's now been built into Windows, connected with Intune as a management solution, okay, the Enterprise Mobility Suite. And so in Windows 10, all the new capabilities that have been built have now been exposed to this MDM layer. And I think one of the fantastic things about Windows 10 is because we've now brought, you know, Windows and Xbox and phone, all of these, what were different branches of Windows together in one single kernel, that single MDM layer now is consistent across any form factor, any device that you're using Windows on. And it's funny, you know, because my team built that original MDM layer that shipped in Windows 8 and then 8.1, and then as 10, we actually transferred that work and the Windows organization took it forward. But we've done this work now that from the cloud, we can connect to that MDM layer and have a very light touch with Intune, which is our solution for managing mobile devices, especially in a BYO scenario. A very light touch, cloud connected, and organizations can do the things that users expect and will permit on their personal devices. And you know, that EDP piece that we just talked about just a minute ago is really key to this, because in a BYO scenario, users are comfortable and willing to let IT put controls on the corporate application of the corporate data, but they want IT to stay away from the user's personal things. And that EDP capability coupled with what we do from an Intune perspective allow IT to do that. Now, the other piece about this is, you know, as we think about organizations and how they're going to manage this, I think the majority of Windows PCs as they come in, at least initially, will just get brought in underneath the existing management tools that people have. You know, the majority of the world uses Config Manager to manage all their Windows devices. And as these Windows 10 devices come in, I think initially they'll start there just being managed by Config Manager. But we've built this wonderful bridge that allows the SCCM agent to coexist on the device with that MDM layer and to both be enabled and talk with each other. And so an organization can make the decisions on, hey, maybe there are some devices where you want to have kind of the same level of control that you've traditionally had. And then there are some devices that you want to have a more lighter touch, like in a BYO model, but that can all be managed through Config Manager. And then that hybrid scenario of Config Manager cloud connected to Intune is what allows us to constantly be updating Config Manager as Windows gets updated.
Wow, great. That's a great architecture, and it's a really I can see where we're going with regard to being able to extend into the future and support more and more mobility and the mobility of experiences. That's awesome. And let's talk even more about the cloud. Yeah. Again, and we've talked a lot about the cloud, but here's something I love, and we touched on it briefly. Thing I love about Windows 8 and how it works in the cloud, the personal Microsoft account and that login give me the benefit of my browser favorites and my network passwords, and they're moving to all the devices that I use, so I don't have to re-enter them and or just copy and all that. Are we doing something in Windows 10 to enable a similar experience?
Yeah, so those same capabilities exist that were there in Windows 8 for your personal settings. But as we talked about, now the ability to have this dual use natively in the operating system, where I can have both personal use and corporate use and have them separated, you know, is a core part of what the Windows 10 value proposition, I think, is to enterprises as well as to users who want to bring their personal devices into work. And so as we built Windows 10, it really has been built in a model that is connected to the cloud. And I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, first of all, that mobile device management layer, I think as more organizations embrace these concepts of mobility and start to deploy Windows 10 on their mobile devices, they'll do that mobile device management and they'll do that from Intune, the cloud service. And so that's one place where there's a cloud connection. The Azure Active Directory identity, which is our cloud identity, is the foundation for how we identify the corporate use and then roam the corporate settings. And so in an environment with Windows 10, you know, some of the first things that a user will be asked for is their personal identity, and they'll also be asked for their corporate identity, both of which are cloud identities. Microsoft Security Account for your personal identity, and then for your corporate identity, Azure Active Directory. And then through those cloud identities, we'll roam both your personal settings and your corporate settings, but keep them separate. That's number two. Mm-hmm. One of the other big values in Windows 10 is we've built in conjunction with the Enterprise Mobility Suite, the concept of conditional access. And conditional access allows IT to be able to express a set of policies that basically govern access to applications and data. And so, for example, IT could express a policy that says, I'm only going to allow access to this corporate data, maybe to email as an example, if the device meets a certain set of criteria. Like, for example, it has to have it has to be encrypted. It cannot be jailbroken. I mean, settings like that that can be identified and then enforced. Well, that is delivered through a combination of the work in Windows 10 and then the cloud services in the Enterprise Mobility Suite, specifically Azure Active Directory Premium. And so in order to be able to enable conditional access, organizations have to have Windows 10 as well as the Enterprise Mobility Suite, and that's how they'll get access to these wonderful capabilities that empowers users but makes sure that they're working on devices that IT is confident are safe and secure.
Fantastic. Having more control over that, the company information, company applications, conditional access to the applications, the data, your demonstration that I saw yesterday at our conference locking down where data can be even copied and pasted in the same system between managed applications and non-managed applications. And having that kind of control is really key. That's awesome. I'm really excited about that. Now, there are other mobile device management products out there. Are they going to be sufficient for managing Windows 10?
And they're not going to be sufficient because as we think about what you really need to have in order to be able to really take advantage of the full capabilities, you know, of Windows 10 or any operating system, it's more than just mobile device management. You know, as we've been putting together our vision and our solution for enable enterprise mobility, you know, you need to do mobile device management, you need to do mobile application management, you have to do data protection, as well as you have to be able to, you know, do identity management. And there's no solution on the market that does all of those outside of the Enterprise Mobility Suite. You know, and this last week we just announced our earnings and we talked about the fact that with the Enterprise Mobility Suite just completed its first year in the market and we now have more than 17,000 paying customers on our Enterprise Mobility Services, which in terms of what has been announced in the market makes that the largest customer base of any Enterprise Mobility solution in the market. And, you know, and the reason we're seeing such incredible interest in what we've built is we have taken a much broader, much more comprehensive view into that. And so, again, you know, you want to do management of the device and the applications. You want to do data protection. And some of the things that we do through Azure RMS are very unique and only possible if you have the Enterprise Mobility Suite. And then our identity management capabilities and the new advanced threat analytics solution that we just announced is all about not only managing your identities, but being able to identify those kind of telltale signs that you have an identity that's been compromised and you're under attack. Those capabilities are built into the Enterprise Mobility Suite, along with the integration that we've done with more than 2,600 SaaS apps to enable single sign-on, as well as automated user provisioning. Those capabilities only exist in the Enterprise Mobility Suite. That's what you have to have if you want to really enable enterprise mobility and empower your users while protecting the corporate data. And to be honest, the others just fall short.
Yeah, well, I think, and it's good news. I think a lot of businesses don't realize that even if they've only rolled out something like Office 365, they're already well on their way to what they need to do this because they have Azure Active Directory. Many of them don't know that they're using Azure Active Directory, but they already got the directory established. You're already making that connection if you're using local Windows Server Directory to populate the Azure Active Directory. Now that you have those accounts there, you've got some good control that you can extend and take advantage of the EMS in order to, the Enterprise Mobility Suite, in order to have all the benefits that you've talked about today.
That's right. You know, if you want to really embrace and achieve the enterprise mobility vision that we've articulated as a company, you know, that really does require you to have Office 365 and the Enterprise Mobility Suite, and then that can manage and enable users on any device, Windows, iOS, or Android. And that is the solution that we see organizations really embracing across the globe. You know, it's really interesting. Just one data point here that I think many will find interesting. This market, if you will, of enterprise mobility management is incredibly, incredibly young. You know, when I talk with CIOs around the globe and we talk about how many mobile devices, you know, do we estimate are being used to access corporate content around the globe, you know, most CIOs will say about 1 billion. If you look at the total number of licenses that these enterprise mobility management vendors have sold, you know, in total, you know, in combination, it's only like 60 or 70 million. So 6 or 7% of the world's devices have been licensed for an enterprise mobility management solution. And I would say less than half of those are actually deployed. You know, this market is just beginning to mature, and I think the solution that Microsoft has brought into the market that brings together management, identity, and the mobile productivity apps from Office, very unique, very differentiated, and we bring that to the market at a price point that's like a third of the other management solutions, and it's far more comprehensive.
And it's not an additional silo, an additional set of skills. It's all integrated into our existing products and our existing tool sets. So IT is already familiar with it.
Yeah, you got
Fantastic. Yeah. Now, we've really covered a lot here today, I know, and we barely scratched the Surface Pro 3 on this topic. See what I did there?
Yeah. So, get that Surface Pro 3 in.
Yes. So, another plug. What more are you and your team doing to get the word out about our recommendations for businesses and how they're going to get ready for Windows 10?
Yeah, you know, so one of the things that we've been working on is a series of blogs. And I think we're going to put them all live up at one time because there's just so much information to really try to educate the world on the new capabilities of Windows 10, how to deploy it, how to manage it, how the cloud-connected services work. And so next Wednesday, which is July 29th, we'll be posting 7 or 8 blogs that I've written that really go into a bunch of this detail. And I think we'll give organizations that first real deep look into how they should be deploying Windows 10, how to understand these different rings of deployment that are going to be where we're going to have, you know, a code branch for business and a long-term servicing branch. We'll talk about the cloud-connected services, all the data protection capabilities. You know, we didn't even talk about things like, you know, Windows Hello and the fact that you don't have to have passwords anymore to be able to authenticate. We didn't talk about some of the RMS that's been natively built into Windows 10. So there's a whole bunch of things to cover. And so, you know, look for that to be available next week. And actually, I think it'll be available the day after we publish this. And if you take a look at aka.ms/WAC/deploy-win10, that'll be the, you know, the alias you can just type in and take you right to this blog series. And encourage everyone to take a look at that and get more educated on how to do all this together.
Fantastic. And yeah, as you're watching this video on Channel 9 and on TechNet Radio and any place you've seen this, that we're going to make sure we have that link available on that page. So do look for that, aka.ms/deploy-win10. Oh, super. Great resources. I'm really looking forward to that series. And it's going to be a very big day, not only for Windows 10 being released to the world, but also then for your series as well. Great stuff. This is really great information. I know our viewers have all appreciated this. So thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, thank you so much. Have a safe trip home.
No, thank you. And we'll see you all again soon for another edition of TechNet Radio.